Say, how's it? Just someone you don't know, quickly. Just say hello to someone you don't know. Okay, and then while you're speaking to them, say, how about we go for coffee? Say, how about a coffee? A bit awkward. If they've got a ring, leave them alone, move on. Of the opposite sex, you know? All right. Lekker, you can, if it's on there, you can go for it. Man, we're coming towards the end. Oh, man, I must actually like put a red line there or something that I shouldn't go forward. Let's see. If this thing freaks out, I'll move back and you can just close your ears while that's happening. Hey? Is it fine? It works. It's fine. Okay. No, it's okay. That's the line. Okay. Let me stand here. Anyway, so we're approaching the end of our series on Galatians, and I don't know about you, but it's really been phenomenal for me. We took a big chance by actually going a few weeks, not just doing like a 3 or 4 week thing, but we set out in faith to say for 9 weeks we're going to speak about a book in the Bible. Estvan likes it, and then that's good news. He said double thumbs up. Estvan didn't think this was possible. He thought maybe 2 weeks in we'll say, no, God's doing something else, but God's still doing this, which is great. So it's really been wonderful, and one of the big questions that people have started asking is, okay, cool, I get it, God wants to change my heart, the burden should be lifted, I'm not under the law anymore, that's wonderful, Leonard, okay, but now what? How? How do I do this? What about self-discipline? How do I apply myself to this thing? And the Bible does speak about it, and we're going to get into some of that tonight, but I think it's a different way than we're used to. Some of you have been part of Josh Chen for a long time. Andrew Selly had this message that he spoke about, the fact that we have different ways of thinking. There's a Greek way of thinking, which is, give me the answer. I want the 1 plus 1. And when I read the Bible, a Greek way of thinking, which is a Western way of thinking, is everything needs to have an orderly flow to it. A must lead to B, must lead to C, and it must make sense, and it must be logical. And that's the way that all of us are learned how to think in a Western society. But actually, when we read the Bible, you need to realize that the Bible is not always written in that way. It's not only written for us Westerners. It's written for Eastern people as well. It's written for people up in Africa. It's written for all cultures. And there's a different way, which is called the Hebrew way of thinking, where 1 plus 1 isn't always equal to 2. Well, it is equal to 2, but it's also equal to something else. And it's more of a flowy way of thinking. The one I would equate when you're farming, everything is neat and in order. That's the way we like it. But equally as beautiful as a farm where everything's neatly in order is a forest. It's not in order, but it's beautiful. And sometimes we want to read the Bible and we want to know, okay, but give me the practical steps. Give me the practical guidelines. And yes, there is that in the Bible. But also God knows, a different way of thinking, God knows if he can change our hearts, that will change our lives. How? Different for each person. But that's the way of God. And so the fear as we go into more of a practical teaching on walking by the Holy Spirit and walking out our Christianity unburdened from the law, the fear is that we would take not having a burden on us as a new law, and that we want to seek new rules because that's our way of thinking. And today I might speak about a couple of things, and you want to put them on you as new laws, your own laws that you made up. And I just want to caution us as we go into that, to say there are practical ways of walking by the Holy Spirit. There is self-discipline involved. There is something like applying yourself and doing the wrong thing and doing the right thing. It's not all heart. There's hands involved and there's mind involved. But just caution that you're not making a new set of rules for yourself, because that's not what the Bible speaks about when it speaks about walking by the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to go through chapter 5 verse 7 and then 5 to 26. So it's basically the rest of chapter 5. And then next week we're gonna end the series, which is incredible. And I think there's lots of fruit. And I'm actually hoping that the week thereafter we'll take some time and just share a few testimonies on a Sunday. Break the mold of just the preach and worship and do it a little bit different and have God seeing what God has done through us. But that's the portion we're going to speak about. And the main thrust of this portion is the fact that we now as Christians, now that the law has been taken away, Because what a lot of us have now learned through this time is that we used to walk by the law. Our Christianity, our serving of God, has been fences, it's been rules, it's been law. I read the Bible and I think, well, okay, I need to apply it in this way, I need to tick these boxes. But what the series has done and what the book of Galatians does for us is it lifts that law. Welcome, guys. It's so nice to have you here. It lifts that law and it says, okay, but now no longer do we walk that way trying to check boxes. The only box that has been ticked is Jesus died for you on a cross and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And he gives you righteousness and he gives you a relationship with God. And now that we walk with God, we walk in relationship with him. This is foreign to us. It's like, okay, give me the rules. How do I do this thing? Be in relationship with God. Walk by the Holy Spirit. No longer walking by the law, but walking by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to go through this, and there's a couple of things that I think is going to be challenging and ways in which we need to live differently. And I think for some of us, it might be eye-opening, and I think that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. So allow the Lord to come and work in your heart. But it is a big portion of Scripture. So what I'm going to do is, The first 8 verses, I'm going to quickly go through. And I just scan through there, maybe lift out one or two small things. And then after that, I'm going to slow it down, and we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of walking with the Holy Spirit and just see how that actually works. So let's start with 5 verse 7. And this is a large portion, and it's going to go on until verse 15. It says, "You were running the race so well." Some of you would have context for this, some of you not. Just go read the book of Galatians. But you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. Where's William Wilberforce? No, not William Wallace. What's that guy? Freedom. Who's that guy? William Wallace, eh? Is it? Am I right? Okay, just say it with me. He has called you to
freedom.
The Christian walk is to be a walk of freedom, not of rules, but of freedom. And it's a key word for those of us who struggle with religion. Some of you came into this series of Galatians and you realize that you were actually quite religious. You wanted to put God in a box the whole time. But God is saying, no, take that box away, take those laws away. There's freedom for you in Christ. This false teaching, which is bringing back the law, is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. Isn't that what false teaching does? Haven't you noticed that if something bad comes into your life, it sort of spreads through your life and it spreads through the community? So Paul is serious. And we're going to see later, he's like, he doesn't want this bad teaching to come back. He doesn't want us to live according to the law. He's like very serious about it. He says, I'm trusting that the law to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching to you that you must be circumcised, which is an example of living according to the law, you can get right standing by being circumcised. And all the guys say that's a very hard law to keep, but it was one of the laws that they were said to keep. He says, as some of you do, why am I still being persecuted? He says, I'm speaking about freedom in Christ. And I'm being persecuted. And that is what happens when we preach the truth of the gospel. There is persecution that follows. He says, I just wish, and listen to this. If you ever thought that there was no humor in the Bible, there is humor in the Bible. Okay, listen to this. You might not catch it immediately, but I'll help you. He says, I just wish that those troublemakers, the circumcision party, who want to mutilate you by circumcision, would mutilate themselves. Now, the Greek word there is apokopto, and it literally means to cut off. So he's saying, I wish those people who are telling you to keep the law by circumcision, I wish that they would cut off the entire thing and not just the front. Ever thought the Bible would say that? I think Paul has a sense of humor and a personality. He's quite strong about this thing. And you know what? This sounds like a nice series. The book of Galatians sounds like a nice message. Yes, I should live in freedom. Paul's like, no, this is not optional. It's not optional. If you're gonna serve God on a rules-based, law-based system, that's not the relationship what God wants for you. He wants freedom. He's like, I am dead serious about this thing. And so he goes on. And this is the key that we're gonna basically extrapolate on as we go through the rest. So I'm going to pause here before we go into the rest of the scriptures. He says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Let me just pause there for a moment. A lot of people who have been going through this series, if you are religiously inclined, meaning you like rules, who likes rules? Be honest. Most of you do. You like, tell me what to do, I'll do it, right? For those people who are religiously inclined, and I'll give you an example of that now, this has been great. It's like, oh, there's freedom here. Some of you are inclined towards rebellion. Can be honest, I'm one of those. The other people are like black and white. Some of us are more gray in our personality. Like, yeah, it's sort of wrong, but sort of not so wrong. Anyone. Okay. For those people, if you misunderstand the message of Galatians and walking by the Spirit and having the law taken off, if you misunderstand that, it could lead you to sin and rebellion. It could lead you further down that path because you say, okay, well, the rules are taken away, so I might just do anything that I want. Let me tell you, you fall into one of these two camps. I had a conversation with a friend. He's an elder this week. The church bought him a laptop to do his work on, and they said, okay, we're going to buy you a laptop, but you have to insure your laptop. And his father-in-law said that he will insure the laptop for him, but on his wife's name. But it's his laptop. But it's their laptop. But it's his laptop. And so he comes to me and he says, listen, I don't know what to do. This is so difficult for me. It's going to be insured on my wife's name, but it's actually my laptop. I don't know. And all I think is, what the heck are you speaking about? Like, it's your laptop. She uses it, you use it. Make it hers and you use it. I don't really care. Just insure the thing. But there are different personalities who look at the same thing, but one is religiously inclined, black and white. There's always a right, there's always a wrong, and you've got a sensitive conscience. And the other one, I'll admit to, is sometimes inclined towards rebellion, even in your relationship with God. Everything is sort of gray. All right, you get what I'm saying with that? But the message here, when we speak about walking with the Holy Spirit, is actually that both are wrong. If you are too black and white and you too want the rules and your Christianity turns into rules, the Bible actually, and the message of walking with the Spirit says, that is not right. It's about relationship. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. On the other hand, if you are prone towards rebellion, the grace of God actually just helps you to do more sin. If you fall into that camp, then I want to say the message of walking by the Holy Spirit says rebellion is also wrong. Relationship is what this is all about. And so when we speak about walking by the Holy Spirit, the language that Paul is going to use a lot is relationship. Some of you will fall towards longing for rules, and he's going to say, that's not how it works. If I look at my relationship with my wife, there are certain principles that help. There are certain things that I do because I know that's going to give us a better relationship, but I do not relate to on the basis of rules. It's not how we relate. Oh, I forgot to put the key in its right place. I'll sleep on the couch for 3 days because that's the rule. Not really, okay. That's not how it works. And for some of us, we're going to long to take off all rules of Christianity. And like, God's never going to tell you to do anything because I've got grace, and you use grace as a means to sin. And I want to say that's equally as wrong, just on the other side. No. If you love the Lord, you want to obey His commands. You want to follow Him. You want to know what He wants, because that's what you want to teach yourself to want as well. That is relationship. There's lots of things that I can get away with in my relationship with Carla, but because I love her and because it's a relationship and it's not just me doing my own thing, I want to figure out what she likes, and then I want to like those things too. That is relationship. Walking with the Holy Spirit is the same thing. It's the same message that Paul is going to say over and over and over. Who's noticed that as Paul writes this book of Galatians, that it's like he says the same thing over and over and over again? It's like our worship in Josh Chen, right? It's the same words over and over. But sometimes you need to hear the same words over and over in order for it to sink in. And he's going to say, walk by the Holy Spirit. Be in relationship with Him. Don't fall to the one side. Don't fall to the other side. Stay in relationship with Him. That is how you're going to grow. That is how you are going to be get away from sin. That is the answer. And he's going to go back to it the whole time. Anyway, he gives a few examples. But let's Let's skip that, actually. We're going to go to verse 16 now, but I want to say that a lot of the next few verses that we're going to read is really going to have to do with relational language. The Holy Spirit, in these couple of verses, is mentioned seven times by name. The Holy Spirit is not a force that you relate to. He's not a thing. He is a person. He's part of the Trinity. Like Jesus is the Son of God that gives us access to the Father, the Holy Spirit is the mediator, is the one that's with us today still. He's a person. And there's going to be a lot of emphasis on this person of the Holy Spirit in this piece of text here. Jesus said, this is one of the most shocking things that Jesus said, "It is better for you that I go." That's crazy. Because I would pick like a few years with Jesus if I could ever pick. Imagine the discipleship, imagine the growth. But Jesus said, "It's better that I go because I'm going to send you my helper, the Holy Spirit," person. Not a force, but a person. And so we need to learn that this is highly relational, walking with God. He speaks of him seven times. Here's some of the examples. He's going to speak about the fact that the Holy Spirit guides your life. If I hear someone is guiding me, I think of a father that gently guides you through life. That is the type of relationship we can have with God through the Holy Spirit. It's going to say that the Holy Spirit gives us new desires. I don't know about you, but with my wife and with my friend, people who I'm close with, I start wanting the things that they want. It's irritating. Have you seen when someone goes into a new relationship, they start becoming like that person? They have the same laugh. Sometimes irritating. I had Nalani speak in a meeting the other day. It sounded like a woman, Andrew, speaking. I'm like, what's Andre doing here incarnated as a woman? It felt, and that wasn't irritating, that was just cute. It's so sweet, you guys are so cute. Have you noticed that? The people that you're close with, if they do like a laugh, then suddenly you catch yourself doing laugh. It's like you rub off on one another because it's relational language. It gives us new desires. It's going to speak about the fact that the Holy Spirit directs us. If I think of direction, I think of someone that I'm walking close to, that I look up to, maybe like a mentor or a father. He directs me, he shows me the way. He doesn't just say, "Oh, well, do your own thing." No, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. You wonder about sin? The Holy Spirit wants to guide you. You wonder about your walk with God? The Holy Spirit wants to guide you. It speaks about the fact that the Holy Spirit will lead you, which is similar. I think of a mentor, someone that walks close with me and shows me the way. I hope for a bigger revelation today of the goodness and the nearness of the Holy Spirit. As your counselor, as your guide, as your God who is with you every single day, because that's what he is. And so let's look at how to walk with the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 to 18 teaches us the lesson that we are to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, and that there is a bit of a war going on. But let's let the Bible speak here. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." That's option one. "Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires." Let me just stop there. If you walk with him, if you stay in good relationship with him and you allow him to guide you, you won't sin. That's crazy. It's not speaking about rules. Some of us say, okay, but what are the rules? No, it's relational language. Walk with him and you won't want to sin. That's what it says. "The sinful nature wants to do evil," option two. "You can either be led by the Holy Spirit or by your flesh." We're going to get into that. The Spirit, walking by the Spirit, is your new nature. As you come to salvation, that's your automatic way of wanting to walk. Walking by the flesh is your old way of doing things. It's like your neutral gear, or not neutral, autopilot, or cruise control. A non-Christian cruise control is walking by the flesh. It's walking in sin. And some people have good flesh and some have bad flesh, but flesh is flesh. Some people look very good, but it's just their neutral. It's just flesh doing things in their own power. But when you come to salvation, your autopilot or your cruise control is actually walking by the Holy Spirit, wanting the things that he wants. But you've got two options. Even as a Christian, the sinful nature will still be there knocking. It says, wants to do evil, which is opposite to what the Spirit wants. I want you to, as you're listening to this, to admit that sometimes this battle is in us. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. I understand this battle. Because when I became a Christian, my desires changed. Christianity is not going from one worldview or set of wanting to, like a set of rules to a new set of rules. It's not that. Christianity, in reality, is an identity change. It's when there's a, it's not just a change of mind, it's a miracle that happens on your inside. That's what becoming a Christian is. It's not a choice you make. It's, yes, reaching out to God, but then he does a miracle in you. That's what it truly is. It changes your identity. The book of Corinthians teaches us that you become a new creation in Christ. That's what happens when you become a Christian. And maybe for some of you, this is an eye-opener because you think that you've known the answers and you're trying your best to live out the Sunday school answers. That's not Christianity. Christianity is an inward desire change. That's what it is. And when I got saved, when I became a Christian, my desires changed. My cruise control was towards sin, as I said. I just want to explain this a bit further. It was towards sin. For me, that was girls and drinking and selfishness. That was my cruise control. For some of you, it's being a good person because that's what you think is fine. And that's your like life before Christ. That's cruise control. But then he came in and he changed my desires. And my desires became, I want to serve God. Not I have to, want to. I want to read the Bible. I want to go to church, not have to. If all of your Christianity is have to, I question the Christ in your Christianity. I question whether you've really been saved, if there hasn't been a heart's desire in you. If all of your coming to church is because you have to, then, and I'm saying this with a lot of love, and I'm saying it because love sometimes even hurts. Love intrudes sometimes. Then I want to, in love, say to you, you need to investigate whether you've really come to salvation. Because our heart's desires need to change. It doesn't mean that those desires are away completely, but my deepest heart level desire will be towards God. That's what happens. It's an identity change. But now the Bible says that although that is my neutral, that is where I'm heading towards, there is this fight where the sinful nature still wants to come in. And if you are an honest Christian, hopefully you're an honest Christian, then you'll say that you've experienced that. Oh God, my heart is so for you. Why do I keep doing these stupid things? Anyone? Just me? Okay. Oh God, in my heart of hearts, I really want to live this way. But why does this thing knock the whole time? Why do I fall back into this place? And that is actually the reality, and that is what this thing is speaking about. But I want to tell you a quick story here. Because what we need to do is we need to say, this is my natural way of doing things is towards God, but I need to keep choosing it. I need to stay in intimacy with God. When this thing comes knocking, I need to remind myself, no, this is not going to be a negative mark on my test of Christianity. This is not who I am. That's what sin is. It's walking contrary to who you actually are. It's when you act out of character. Because your new character is towards Christ. It looks like Christ. And sin is just doing the opposite of that. It's not failing a little test. It's just, it's not being true to who Jesus has made you to be. I'll tell you a quick story. I've told this before, but it's just one of those that will never leave me, probably for the rest of my life. But I was at this passion conference a couple of years ago, which was incredible, and it was well done. It was like when you walk in there, It was in Greenpoint Stadium. It was beautifully put together. The sound and the AV and the light probably cost millions of rands. It was beautifully put together. If I remember correctly, Louis Giglio came to speak. He preached there. There was the Passion Band. It was really beautiful, and I loved it. I was like, oh, this is really inspiring. Really inspiring. But then towards a time, if you've heard this, just pretend you haven't and just say, oh, wow, that's good. That's good, Leonard. But I remember at some point during the message, there was like a video playing. Really, it probably someone sat for a few months making this video. It was well done. And while this video was going on, someone in the back corner of the stadium started shouting. If you've ever heard, I probably shouldn't go there, but if you've got questions you can ask, but if you've ever heard someone manifesting demonically or shouting because there's a demon working, you know the sound. It's different. And maybe it's also onderscheiding. Hey, not this thing. Discernment. Maybe it's discernment, the Holy Spirit discerning in you. But I heard a shout somewhere in the stadium, and I heard, this is not God. Something's happening here. And I like me a little bit of ghost busting. I enjoy deliverance. And you should too, actually. It's not as scary as you think. Actually, when God delivers someone of a demon, you see the spiritual realm at work in the physical like you'll see in no other time in your life. It's actually a beautiful thing. It's like you speak about forgiveness, you preach about it, but with deliverance, all the ones I've seen almost has been when someone hasn't been able to forgive. They forgive, the demon goes out. It's like, ah, these things are real. I see it in front of me. So I love it because I see God working physically like in front of me. It's like beautiful. So I run there and I get there, and when I get there, people are already praying for this person, and she, like, God's working, there's tears, there's like demons coming out, it's like a beautiful moment. And I went to sit down, and God spoke to me in that moment, and he said, Leonard, you will always try and do the passion conference thing, and I'm not saying it's bad, well put together, but I felt like God asked me a question. He says, whose life do you think was changed today? Was it everyone that looked at the well-put-together program? Or was it the person who had an encounter with the Holy Spirit? And I started sobbing because my natural inclination will always want it be to do things in my power, and that is the flesh as well. It will be to even walk out my Christianity in my power, to think I've got a problem, I've got sin, I'm going to do it according to the flesh, I'm going to do it with my strength. But the lesson the Holy Spirit taught me there, and I keep forgetting it, and I need to come back to that moment and to the scriptures and to what we're reading now, is to say the only way we grow in our relationship with God is intimacy with the Holy Spirit, is if we walk close with Him. When you walk close with Him, then He will change you. Then you won't want to sin. Then you will become a new person, and He'll keep taking you from glory to glory when you walk close with Him, not when you do Christianity really well, quote unquote. It's when you walk with Him, relationship. And oh man, how many times do we forget that? How many times when it comes to sin do we look for the quick answers? I'm going to stop this thing. I'm going to get accountability software. Those things are really good. It is good. I'm not even saying it's bad. But that's not the answer. That's a supplementary answer. The real answer is, I need to be intimate with God. I need to find Him in His presence. I need to spend time with Him. I need to be with Him. Because as I'm with the Holy Spirit, that is how I will change. I'm going to get back to this at the end of the service, because if you are here and you maybe are convicted, as I said earlier, that all of your Christianity is things that you feel are good to do, but it's not, your inward desires have not changed, then I want to get back to that point and pray for you that God would do a miracle in you today, because that's true salvation. Romans 7:22 says, I love God's law with all my heart. God's ways, I love it with all my heart. Not I have to do it, I love it with all my heart. If that hasn't happened in you, I'd love to pray for you after the service. So let's move on. So he's saying, choose. When this battle is there, choose the Holy Spirit. Choose to walk in intimacy with Him. Choose relationship with Him. But then verse 19 to 21, let's read the rest. But then there is this thing of the works of the flesh. The flesh is there. It's present. What do I do with it? Well, the thing that you do with it is you recognize it. That's actually the first step, and probably the most important step, is when the flesh starts popping up in your life, the bad things, sin, you just recognize it. We'll speak about it because it does give us an answer of what to do with it, but you need to recognize it. Because when sin comes into your life, when you start living in sin, that is an indicator for you that you are not living in the Holy Spirit. That's actually the indicator. Or that you have not been saved, if these things are habitual in your life and you can't get rid of them. So let's listen to these things. And maybe this will be convicting to some of you. And the answer is not to say, I need to try harder. The answer is to say, I need to go back to walking with the Holy Spirit. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, or the flesh in other translations, the results are very clear if you don't choose the way of God. Sexual immorality, the word there is porneia, the Greek word. It's basically any sexual act outside of marriage. If you love that sexual act outside of marriage, whatever it is, more than you love God, and you keep falling in it, come on, I want to plead with you today, the flesh is taking over. And you need to say yes to God and no to those things. There is a war for your soul. Whether that's pornography, whether that's sleeping around with your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it may be, you need to recognize that and cry out to the Lord and say, God, please come do a miracle in me. Never in your strength will you get rid of it, only in God's strength. Impurity, that's corrupt or unclean behavior. Lustful pleasures, I think that speaks for itself. Idolatry, this is an interesting one. When the flesh in your life starts taking over, the Bible here says that idolatry will take place. Idolatry in the Old Testament was when you worshipped an idol, a man-made image. Those man-made images today look different than it looked in biblical times. It's anything that you put in place of God in your life. For some of you, that will be academics. For some of you, that will be your job. But you worship something. What you give most of your attention to, that is the thing that you worship. Some of you, if you're in that phase, it's really easy to start worshiping your children because that's where all your thoughts and attention go, more than God. Then that thing has become an idol. Some of us worship money. We think about that more than we think about God. If those things are popping up, it is supposed to be an alarm bell, a signal to you. Come on, get back to walking with the Holy Spirit. You've forgotten what it's like to be close to your God. Sorcery. This is just ironic for me. It's the word pharmakeia, which is where pharmacy and pharmaceutical and whatever. So conspiracy theorists, do with that what you want. Sorcery. For some of that might be dabbling with Satanism or dabbling with other religions even. Hostility. Quarreling. If you find yourself everywhere you go, you're constantly fighting with people, it means the flesh has taken over in your life or you're not saved yet. It's like everywhere you go, there's disunity, there's quarreling, there's fighting in your family, in the church. Listen, if that thing follows you, it's not everyone else, it's you. It's like, this church is so horrible. No one likes me. They all fight with me. No, it's you. It's not them. It really is important to know that. Jealousy. If you just, it's like you're consumed with wanting what other people have. Oh, Facebook, Instagram. If that thing has taken over your life, that is like, another word for it is like jealousy activator. That's what that is. Why is Instagram there? What does it do? Come on, I'm sorry, guys. You can be honest, it's fine. It's not sin per se. But man, what does that thing in you do? You only see the good side of other people. You don't see the bad. And it makes you want. That's not God. I want to urge some of you to throw those things away and rather walk with the Holy Spirit. Because you're feeding the flesh in you. Where was I? Outburst of anger, was that it? Just there. Selfish ambition, and this can even be shown in the church, like you're doing the Christian thing, but the only reason you're doing it is so that you can be a comm leader, a deacon, an elder, rise up in the ranks. That's selfish ambition. In your job, you are consumed with being at the next step of the ladder. If you're consumed, it's like you're missing walking with the Holy Spirit. Something else has taken over. Dissension, it's like there's discord wherever you go. Division, meaning two visions. If you can't come in line with the elders or people who love you and love the Lord, you feel like you're always opposite to them. That's flesh. Envy, drunkenness. That's not about drinking a drink. It's when you are consumed with alcohol. It becomes a crutch for you. It makes you feel better. It helps you to cope. If that thing is coming into your life or it's disabling you, then man, this is not good. Wild parties. And then if some of you sit here, the very religious, and you think, I don't really have any of those things. I think I'm doing really well. And it says, and things like these. So it covers you too. All of us have some place of the flesh that comes in. But here's a really amazing thing. It says, that helps us here. It says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's not saying it tempts you. It's not saying it pops up now and then. It's saying when this becomes your life, when your children become your life, when your job becomes your life, when alcohol becomes your life, when these things are like so habitual that you can't get rid of it, then it says you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you, sin is serious. Choosing flesh above walking with the Holy Spirit, it is serious. It will lead you down the path of destruction to lose your salvation. Or it will show you that you have never been saved to begin with, because those things define your life more than the other things that we are going to read now of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's read the next part when it speaks of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And a big question that you can ask yourself is, if you had to put these two lists together, and please don't hear this list as like, ooh, I need to grow in these areas. I'm going to explain that now. But if you put these two lists together, it's going to be indicative for you of whether the Holy Spirit is taking the primary position or your flesh is taking the primary position. If you can relate more with the previous list that we read than this list about the fruits of the Spirit, then you realize that you've fallen out of relationship with God and you need to come back to relationship with Him. Because it says this, Galatians 2:22-23. But the Holy Spirit, when you walk with Him, produces this kind of fruits in our lives. Love. You're not judgmental, you love people. It's like love is your natural thing that flows out of you. It believes the best. It thinks the best of others. You want to reach out to people. That's love. Joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is up and down. Joy is a lasting thing. It's like, I can't explain why my natural inclination is to be happy because I've received salvation. It's joy. The Holy Spirit is joyful within you. Peace that transcends all understanding. The world is going crazy, but if you walk with the Holy Spirit, you'll say, I don't understand it. Kamala Harris won, but I've still got peace. It wasn't a prophecy, I'm just saying. Patience. It's like, I'm not rushing for anything. Kindness. People experience you as a kind person, not because you want to be a kind person, but because God lives in you and He's kind. And people like you because there's kindness that flows out of you. Goodness. Faithfulness. Like you're a one-woman man or you're a one-man... What? Anyway. You want one person, you're faithful. Like you're not always thinking how you can jump around between relationships and jobs and whatever. Like you're faithful, you faithfully give yourself because that's who you are. Gentleness, self-control. You're not up and down the whole time. There's no law against these things. Meaning like, yeah, anyway, there's no law. These things are good, they are pure, they are beautiful. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, these are the things that follow. When you allow the flesh to take over in your life, the other things will follow. Now, let me tell you, I want to read you a quick scripture that is very similar to this. And Paul probably even drew on this. We're not going to put it up in the air. John 15, which speaks about a similar concept. All of you would have heard it. It's Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, remain in me. Not do the right things. No, relational language. Remain in me. And I will remain in you. And then it speaks of this thing. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. If you're not in a relationship, the fruits of your life will not be the things that we just mentioned. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you listen to this portion that I just read, and you listen to it through a law mindset, what you're going to try and do is you're going to try and produce this fruit. It's going to be like, I need to be more kind in this situation. I need to be more kind. I'm going to try my very best to be in this situation. What you're doing, it's like you are a tree and you're saying, grow fruit, grow, 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 grow fruit. It doesn't work like that. For a fruit to grow, the root needs to be healthy. And if the root is healthy, it will be the natural outflow of that tree. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, if you are intimate, if you are spending time with Him, if you are listening to His guidance in your life, if you're in that relationship, your root is healthy. And if your root is healthy, your natural outflow will be these things. And so we're not fruit inspectors. We're not like, oh, I'm not doing enough fruit. I need to really try hard to bear better fruit. No, we are root inspectors. We go back to the root. We go back to the root and we ask ourselves, how is my root doing? You're a garden and not a fruit inspector. Gardening is really difficult. I've spoken about it many times. It's a passion of mine lately. But you need to make sure the roots are good. Sustenance. There's rain coming now. I had a fertilizer that I put all over because I know the fertilizer needs to get into the roots. And if that's going to happen in a few days from now, my grass is going to be, I'm telling you. It's going to be beautiful. I'll send you a picture. It's going to be wonderful. Not because I'm looking at the grass saying, grow, grow, grow. That's not going to work. Maybe a bit of Beethoven, but no, grow, that's not going to, it's not going to work. I need to look at the root and make sure that root is healthy, and then the fruit will ensue. Same with your life. Where are you at? How is your relationship with God? How are you walking with the Holy Spirit? And then it gives us two very practical steps with which we're going to shortly end. And it says, these are two ways to practically walk with the Holy Spirit. It is to crucify the flesh and to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to say, is walking. Your job is to say, as you walk, I keep in step with you. I follow in your footsteps. I allow the Holy Spirit to guide me. That's the path towards God. The path towards the flesh, if you want to get rid of that, it is to crucify it. Very important word that the Bible uses here. It doesn't say get rid of it. It doesn't say throw it away. It doesn't say ignore it or run from it. It says crucify. Crucify speaks of the cross. Put that thing on the cross. Let's look at that. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Struggling with sin, crucify it. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. The closest thing to a practical thing that I can give you today with walking in the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh is firstly to crucify the flesh. When the original readers heard this, they would have had the imagery of the cross in their minds. They would have had other letters, Bible letters, circulating to them. They would not have only thought past tense, oh, this was done when I became a Christian, because to a large extent, yes, it was done. It was crucified. That's why you got salvation. But the Bible also speaks about crucifixion of the flesh or sin as a daily thing that you need to do. Listen to Luke 9:23. If you want to be my follower, Jesus said, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a daily decision to say, because I want the Holy Spirit, I will say no to this. I will crucify my flesh daily. I will put that thing on the cross. It will be painful. Do you think crucifixion, if you think of crucifixion, the word excruciating derives from the word crux, which is derived from the word cross. Think of it as painful. Putting your flesh on the cross is a painful process, but it's a final process. Everyone who went on that cross died. That's how we should be with sin. I want the Holy Spirit. I don't want you. I will put you on the cross. Romans 6:11 says, consider yourself dead to the power of sin and alive through Jesus Christ. It's also a mind thing. When that sin comes in, I say, no, I am dead to you. You have been put on the cross. Pornography, lust, greediness, you have been put on the cross when I got saved. I consider myself dead to you and alive to Christ, alive to the Holy Spirit. You need to do this regularly. Remind yourself of what happened when you became a Christian. Colossians 3 verse 5, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Put it to death. Many of you have been here like a while ago. I went through like a massive thing in my life. We can have coffee and speak about it. I'm not going to go into detail. But let me tell you, getting rid of sin in my life, which I was very public about, because in this church, as the Bible teaches us, we believe that if an elder sins, person standing here, this is a public office, it's a public job that I do, so my sin needs to be shed and repented of publicly so that you can also learn. It's the most difficult thing, but it's the best thing because God thought it out and not human beings. That it's counterintuitive to human beings. Let me tell you, when I went through that time, oh man, it was probably the most painful time of my life, but I was desperate to get rid of sin in my life. I was desperate to get this habitual sin out of me, and it was a daily decision. I remember every time I went into town, every time I woke up, every time I drove on my scooter or in my car, I would be praying, Lord, I consider myself dead to this sin, dead to it and alive to you, dead to it and alive to you. It's a daily thing. And as you daily do it, you become more alive to the Holy Spirit. It's not just conquering that thing for the sake of conquering it. It's so that you can walk closer with God and the Holy Spirit. This is not a righteousness thing. You can miss Yemiya. And then to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. This is wrote in the passive and in the active. But what it's basically saying, this word, this Greek word used here, in other parts of the Bible, it speaks about a shepherd calling. It's like a gentle, it's like a call. Shepherd whistles, the The people know that whistle of the shepherd and they, or the sheep, and they start following. It's a gentle call. This is it. The other, it's also used for wind. When wind blows into a sail, it's like the Holy Spirit leads you like that. Gentle wind blowing into a sail. Or when someone escorts you or guides you, takes you by the arm and shows you the way. This is the type of language used here. If you know God, you know the Holy Spirit, He is doing that with you. The question is just whether you're listening. He is guiding you. He is speaking. He's softly showing you the way. But the Bible, yes, speaks about the fact that you should keep in step with Him. You should say yes to Him as you say no to those things. Say, yes, Holy Spirit, you're putting this on my heart. I see this in the Bible. I know that this is your way. I want to do it. I want to follow your way. John Stott said it this way. The Holy Spirit puts this gentle pressure on us, and we must yield to His direction and control. How yielded are you to the Holy Spirit and His ways? Because He wants you to be, because He loves you, because He's in a relationship with you, and He wants to be close with you. Can we maybe stand as we end? I'm going to land this in a bit of a different way. And this is not to condemn you, please. Like, the book of Galatians is all about not falling under condemnation. So don't hear me here. Don't fall under condemnation in this moment. What I'm going to do is I want to read you the lists of the sinful nature. And actually what I want to say is there's no condemnation here. This is a place of spiritual family, of love, of supporting each other and praying for each other. But I want to ask you, not if you like falling into this thing now and then, but if this is becoming a big thing for you, these things that you read here, and you like, this is starting to define my life more than Christianity, more than the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then I want to ask you to actually raise your hand in a moment that we can come around you and pray for you. So listen to this list, not as a condemning thing, but as a convicting thing, for God to come and say, well, actually, this is really prevalent in your life. I want to take it away so that you can walk with the Holy Spirit. Sexual immorality. Maybe even just close your eyes where you are. Just listen to these things. Again, not to condemn. Impurity, lustful pleasures, putting idols, things above God, more important things than God, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, fighting, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, being envious of people, drunkenness, wild parties, and those type of things. If you feel like that's defining you, in a moment I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And you can respond in two ways today. You can respond in two ways. Firstly, you can say, oh, I'm slipping into these things. And that's called backsliding. It's like we all go through it now and then. I've gone through it in my life. There will probably be times, I pray to God that I won't, but I might go through those times again. And then I need to, as the Bible says, bring it before the people of God and allow them to pray for me that I may be healed. James 5 says that to us. So I'll give you an opportunity now, but I want to give you an opportunity if you say, well, this is actually who I am. It's not something I do now and then. This is who I am. It's an identity thing. I live in this. This is like some of these things sum me up as a person. Then I want to ask you, Jesus wants to give you a new nature today. I'm hoping there's someone here. He wants to give you a new nature. He wants to change you from the inside out. It's not an outside in thing. It's an inside-out transformation, new creation. So with all the eyes closed, if there's someone like that and you say, oh, shucks, these things define me, but I want the Holy Spirit to define me. Can I ask you, no one's looking around, can you just raise your hand so that we can pray for you, please? Thank you. David, just pray there next to you. Just keep your eyes closed. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, praise God. I'm going to just keep our eyes closed. David will pray for you, but I just want to take a moment. Can we all pray for, you don't even have to know who it is. It's between this person and God. But can all of us just pray for a moment? Now, Lord, we thank you for a miracle that you do. Thank you for the fact that this is not an outside transformation. It's not an outside work. But this person who put up their hands, Lord, we pray just now, Lord, that you would do an absolute miracle in them. We celebrate this, Lord, as like the biggest miracle of today that we get to witness is you transforming a life from darkness to light. We celebrate it, God, because it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It is a miracle. We celebrate it. Thank you for that. So just while they're praying, if there's anyone else that responds and you say, oh man, I think I've backslidden, I've fallen into these things, we'd love to pray for you. Cam, where are you? Just raise your hands if that's you. No need to be shy. I know this is going to be, feel like you need to be shy. Someone like you feel like, ah, this thing has taken over a bit too much. There at the back. Just keep your hand up. Look around. Thank you. Just let's pray for, let's come around these people. At the back. Come, raise your hands. Don't be scared. There we go. There at the back as well. Just some of, you can look around. Let's pray. Anyone else? No one else. Okay. Let's keep walking in these things. But let's pray. Yeah, let's pray here as well. Steve, can you pray there, please? Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's all of us. Godfrey, I don't know if you want to pray with me. Maybe Godfrey will pray for us. Yeah, let's pray.
I think let's maybe just take one more moment just to pause. I think it's so easy for us to rush through these things. Let's just really take a moment. I was just aware that when Lent was reading the list now, that some of these things are public, you know, so in a sense, if you did them, every one of us would know about it. But I realized that some of these things are actually hidden things, that if you were struggling with them, no one would even know except you. And we just want to give a moment right now just to say maybe there's something there that the Holy Spirit is just silently is putting His finger on. And we don't want to rush it. We don't want to play church. We don't want to, you know, look nice on the outside. But no, deep inside of us, there's something that God is actually wanting to heal and that He's wanting to restore. So I just want to give a moment once again. You know, maybe it's not something public or just something that is maybe huge, but you feel like right now the Holy Spirit, there's just something that keeps on coming to mind that feels like the Holy Spirit is just putting His finger on. We just want to pause there and just deal with that thing.
Maybe I'm just actually feeling, let's revisit what we're praying for. Just if you want prayer, anything that stood out for you, you want prayer. Can I maybe ask us, let's do it a little bit differently. Let's break the mold. Come to the front. If you want prayer for anything that stood out for you today, come. Milano, there at the back as well, Vicky. Just anything, like God's touched your heart, like maybe some area that like, fallen into it, or like whatever it may be, your intimacy is lacking, whatever. Just pray. And those people who have responded, let's pray. Anyone else, come. You want prayer today. Like a family together, we'll pray for you. Come stand. Maybe stand a bit more forward, please. We can make space. Even if we just take 5 minutes, these are our friends and family, man. We need to support them, whatever it may be. So let's come forward. Yeah, come. Just a couple of people. Come pray here. Anyone who wants to come pray for these people. What we'll do is we'll pray for them. We'll sing just one song of responding. So if you're at the back, you can pray for them or you can worship. We'll just end with a song or and we keep praying for these people for a moment.
So, one, two, one, two.